Today we're going to be talking about why we are here. The last week and for about the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at questions that people have been asking for thousands of years, and most people have no idea why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing while we're here, and what happens after this life. Most of the people that you and I walk with and talk with don't know the answer. And so we're going to talk about that today. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read His Word. We're going to be reading from Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Father, as we study your word today, may you show us today, Lord, exactly why we're here, exactly what we're supposed to do while we're here, and exactly what happens after this life. Father, we won't get to it all today, but we're going to get to some of it. And in the next few weeks, we're going to get to all of it. Father, open our hearts to your truth, and Lord, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back about 50 years ago, I and Mimi were young. We were 25 years old. I was 25, and Mimi was 24. And we started talking. We had our firstborn son, Shane, and we had another child on the way, who was our daughter, Amy. We started to talk to each other, and we said, what are we going to tell Shane, because he's almost a year old, he's going to start asking questions pretty quick. What are we going to tell Shane why he's here? Who he is? Why he was made? What's he supposed to do while he's here? And what are we going to tell him happens after this? And we realized we had none of those answers. We didn't have one single answer. Because we didn't know why we were here. We didn't know what we were supposed to be doing. We didn't know what happens after this life. But the good news is, all that is explained in God's Word. But we didn't know it at that time. We didn't know God's Word hardly at all. My sister, who was 12 years older than me, did know the Lord. She didn't know how to explain it to me, but she knew she had something I did not have. So she sent the local pastor after me. She went to St. Luke's Hospital. She was going to have ingrown toenail surgery. And the chaplain walked past her door. And so she called him in. And she said, I need you to find out in St. Charles a regular Baptist pastor who will go see my brother. And, of course, the chaplain was Lutheran, St. Luke's at that time. He laughed and said, won't a Lutheran pastor do? And she said, nope, got to be a regular Baptist. So he checked around, and he called Pastor Williams, St. Charles Trinity Baptist at that time. And he came to visit me, but he couldn't find me. The address said 11230 West Prior Road. And, of course, you go up M52. The church was just around the corner, about a mile from my house. You go up 52, and West Prior Road goes both ways. So he kept going west, looking for 11230, couldn't find it. This went on for weeks. And finally, he talked to the deacon board and asked them all to pray. And one of the deacons said, "You don't have to worry about Jerry Larkin, Pastor. I went to school with him. He'll never get saved." Well, praise the Lord, Pastor Williams didn't believe him. And he found out where I lived, and he turned the right way on the road and found me. Came up to the door. I didn't know he was coming. He knocked on the door, and he said, "If I can tell you in 5 minutes how to go to heaven, would you do it?" And I literally laughed at him. Because this poor guy, he thinks he knows how to get to heaven. I don't even know if there is a heaven. He said, "So if you'll let me in less than 5 minutes, I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know you have eternal life." And I said, "Well, nothing good on TV. Come on in." And sure enough, within 5 minutes. Now, if I would have let him just talk, it would have been 5 minutes. But I am the question guy. I had 152 questions for him as he went. So it took a little longer than 5 minutes. But he showed me very clearly from the Word of God that I was a sinner. Didn't surprise me. I knew that. Okay. I was trying to live a good life because I was taught at the Old Baptist Church, if you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. So I was trying to be good. He even asked me. He said, "Jerry, how are you planning on getting to heaven?" I said, "Well, trying to be a good person, and I believe God will let all the good people in." He said, "Jerry, do you know from the Scriptures how many good people there are?" And I said, "No, how many?" "The Bible says there's none good, no, not one." And I remember swallowing pretty deep and saying, "Uh-oh, I think maybe I'm in trouble then," and I was. But he proceeded in those next 5 minutes to show me who I was, why God made me, what I'm supposed to be doing now, how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven, how I can know for sure all my sins are forgiven. The next day, I remember telling Mimi, I said, "Mimi, I'm going to work today. Pastor Williams told me to read the Gospel of John and ask three questions. Who is God? What did he come to do? And what do you have to do to get the benefit?" I said, on my spare time, because I had a real heavy job and I'm paying for it in my shoulders now, they're gone. But an hour off, I would set up the drills and stuff for the next hour's work. And then I would have an hour where I could sit down and think and read. And I read just the first three chapters. All three of those questions are answered in the first three chapters of John. Who am I? I'm created in God's image. Who was Jesus Christ? He's God come in the flesh. Chapter 1. What did he come to do? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What do I have to do to receive him and get saved? John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. So I told Mimi, I'm going to work. I'm going to read that section that Pastor told us about. And if I become convinced that it's true, I'm going to receive Christ as my Savior. I want you to do the same thing while I'm at work. I want you to read that. And if you believe it's true, I was pretty sure by the time I went to work that it was, but wanted to be sure according to the Word of God, I said, don't wait for me because I'm not waiting for you. If it's true, you need to do it today. I got saved that day at work, and the next day Mimi got saved. We now know why we're here. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know what's going to happen after this life. And because of that, we were able to raise our children to know exactly the same truth. And they raised their children to know exactly the same truth. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." Both God has revealed in his word who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, what happens after this? Folks, it's all there. We just have to get into the Word of God to dig it out. So when we talk about why are we here this week, last week we talked about the idea that we have to acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. We have to believe that there is a Creator God. And we said last week, if you don't believe that, every other question we're going to be asking, why we're here, what we're supposed to do, what happens after this, you're going to get everyone wrong. Because if you don't believe that there is a God, and Jesus Christ is that God, that's the first button on your shirt. If you get the first button wrong, there's no way you can get the other questions answered. So you must believe that there is a Creator God, and you must believe that Jesus Christ is God. So those things we talked about last week. This week, we're going to move forward just a little bit, and we're going to say we do believe God exists. We do believe Jesus Christ is that God. He is our Creator God, and He has a purpose for us. So today we're going to look at what that purpose is. So in our schools today, we have taught evolution, our public schools. In fact, evolution is the only thing that's taught in our public schools. What would happen in our public schools, I'll just say St. Charles because that's my hometown, what would happen to a biology teacher in St. Charles if he were to begin to teach creation? That there really is a God who created all life, He has a purpose for all life, and you will one day answer to Him. I'll tell you what would be happening. He'd be fired. Why? Because science says that it all started with a big boom. Nothing was there in the beginning, nothing, and somehow nothing went boom. And all life came from that. That's what science says. The Bible says, beware of science falsely so called. We've mentioned before, two things about science. True science is what? It's observable. I can see the same thing over and over and over, and it's repeatable. It always comes out the same way every single time. If I took a rock and I held it up here and let go of it, you could observe what's happening, couldn't you? The rock falls to the ground. If I dropped a rock from this height 1,000 times, what's going to happen? It's going to fall to the ground. Because that's true science. Observable, repeatable. Nobody was there in the beginning, except for God. So, you can't say how it started unless God reveals it in His Word, because you and I were not there. We could not observe it, and we certainly cannot repeat it. They've been trying to create life from things that don't have life, from the soil, ever since I was a young boy. They have not succeeded one time. The best equipment, the best science, they cannot create life, even from physical things. Can't be done. So true science says, no, we didn't just come from nothing. There is a God that created. And so we want to talk about that today. Last week, we talked about the idea that there is a God. This week, we're moving forward to why are we here. Now, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes as a man under the S-U-N, the sun, a man under the sun, everything physical, no relationship with God. And this is what Solomon came to with his wisdom. He was, the Bible says, the wisest man ever, probably ever than the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was an extremely wise man. In Ecclesiastes 1:2, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Folks, under the S-U-N, if you take God out of the equation of life, you say there is no God. We're just natural selection. We're in the existing universe. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no reason why it's here. There is no God. You're going to get every single thing wrong. And so Solomon said, as a man just under the sun, everything's meaningless. And I can remember taking psychology when I was in Delta College, and we studied existentialism. And existentialism teaches that exact thing. There is no reason why we're here. There's no purpose for us being here. And your life equals exactly nothing when it's over. And I can remember thinking, that is the most depressing thing I was not a believer in Christ at the time. I believed about Christ, but I hadn't received Christ as Savior. But I can remember thinking, wow, there's no reason why I'm here. My life has no meaning. I live 70 or 80 years and I die and there's no purpose and there's nothing after that. I thought, wow, I sure hope that's not true. That was so depressing. And I want to just talk with you about Richard Dawkins. Some of you know Richard Dawkins was one of the most famous atheists that ever lived. And he wrote the book, The God Delusion. And in that book, the biologist said he was 99% sure there is no creator God. Now, I would want to be 100% sure before I wrote what he wrote. This is what he wrote. In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find rhyme or reason in any of it, nor any justice in any of it. The universe we observe has precisely the proprieties we would expect if there's at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. You're just an accident, and so we don't have any purpose. And the universe doesn't care about you. Well, a little later than that, after he wrote that book, he was in a question and answer time. And a reporter said, "Sir, what does science say is the meaning of life?" Dawkins didn't want to answer the question because there is no suitable answer to the question. If there is no creator God, if it all just happened, then there really is no purpose. There's no reason for you and I to be alive. There's nothing at the end of it. Your life, no matter how much good you try to do, it isn't going to make any difference because it's just random chance anyhow. Well, that's kind of discouraging. He didn't want to answer the question because the only answer he could give is there is no meaning. If you take God out of life's equation, you take away the fact that there is a creator who created for purpose, then nothing we do makes any difference to anything. If there's no God, you and I are totally irrelevant. If all mankind ceased from this earth today, how much difference would it make in the universe without a God? Wouldn't make any difference at all. Would the earth still spin around on its axis if we were all human beings were gone? Sure would. The deer and the cows and all the rest would still be alive. The trees would still be growing, but mankind's gone. That's what science, the science they're teaching our kids today, is teaching them. They're here by accident. Their life has no purpose. And in the end, they're going to die, and that's going to be the end of it. Folks, our children are committing suicide at alarming rates today because that's what they're being taught. And when we think about that, another quote, I'll just give you this one. This is from physicist Lawrence Cross at Arizona State University. He said, "We're just a bit of pollution. If you got rid of us, the universe would be largely the same. We are completely irrelevant." And you might say, wow, if that's true, I'm glad it's not true. But if it were true, that is totally depressing to me. I hope it is to you, too. Shakespeare, in writing in Macbeth, said, "If there is no God, life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing." But the good news for us is we do believe there is a God, and he has revealed himself to mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water." Now this idea of evolution It's what's being taught in school. If you're an idiot, that's what science would say about you. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ as your creator God, they would say you're an idiot. You're ignoring the science. Folks, again, the Bible says, beware of science falsely so called. You have to study and look at what life really is to know when science is true and when science is false. The scientist said what? If you get the COVID shot, you will never get COVID and you will never pass it to anybody else. Was that true? That was absolutely a lie. It was proven false and they still proclaimed it. Folks, we have to go for true science. If the Big Bang was true, then your life and mine have no meaning whatsoever. But again, God has revealed the secret thing. The things that men can't, by observing, know. He's revealed His truth in His Word. And so I want you to know, again, in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Those who reject the knowledge of God, because the knowledge of God is observable and it is repeatable, but they refuse to believe it. They suppress the truth through their wickedness, it says in Romans chapter 1. The atheist says, there is no reason for life. Your life, my life, don't matter a bit. There's no purpose. There's no reason for it. When you die, they close up the box and the game is over. That's it. The Christian says, do we have purpose in life? And we can rejoice with a shout of joy, yes, our lives make a difference. God created us, and God is a purposeful God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning before we go to communion. Everything God does, everything God creates, has a purpose. In Proverbs 16, verse 4, it says, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. God has a proper end in mind. That's why in Sunday school today, we talked a little bit about the war that we're in now. Congress hasn't declared war yet, but we're in a war, whether you know it or not. God has a purpose for that. That didn't just happen by accident. That wasn't totally Donald Trump. There's a lot of forces going on here. We may not know all the information, but everything that happens in life, God has a purpose for it. And as Christians, we can rest in that. When you think about it, God has a purpose for the sun. When God created the sun, are you glad the sun's there? Let's just say the sun doesn't have any purpose. Let's just get rid of it. What would happen to us if the sun wasn't there? If God wasn't involved, we would just die. The whole system would fall apart. But God is there. The stars have a purpose. And you can say, well, what's the purpose of the stars? Well, for about 4,000 years now, men have guided their ships and lives from the stars to get direction which way they go. The stars have a purpose. All things have a purpose. And when we say man doesn't have a purpose, we as Christians should say, that's a bunch of baloney. Man does have a purpose. God created us in His image. I hate to say it, but when Donald Trump, when he was given the State of the Union, he said, you people are, what? Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. What is the definition of somebody being crazy? Folks, they don't think right. They don't act right. People who say there is no God, they're crazy. I don't care if they got a doctor's degree, they're crazy. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Every time I see a rose, I know that it came from what? It came from another rose. It didn't come just somebody wanted a rose. But our children are being taught today that they may not be a boy, they may not be a girl. What does God say? He says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God said he created us for a purpose. We are to rule over the animals. We're to be the head of everything on this earth. Now, I know it went sideways when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but God created mankind to be the ruler of all the animals on this world. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man male and female. Again, today, because our nation is departing from the Word of God as the source of truth, we're teaching boys and girls in our grade schools. You may not be a boy. You might be a girl. We're teaching our girls, you may not be a girl, you might be a man. When God created male and female, females have an XX chromosome. And because of that, they are female. Males have an XY chromosome. And you can't undo that. You can't just say, I don't feel like being a man. If you're made with an XY chromosome, you are a man. It doesn't matter what you say or what you think or what you feel. But sadly, our own education institutions are teaching these kids, you could be a monkey if you want to. You can be a cat if you want to. Some of our school systems right here in Michigan, actually for years now, it's pretty much stopped now. We got different leadership. But they actually had cat litters in the bathrooms, boys and girls' bathrooms. If you thought you were a cat, you could go into that cat litter. Folks, we laugh, but it's really, that's tragic. That's not funny. I know it strikes me as funny too, but it's not. We're being taught things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God and saying that it's science. It's not science. Boys are XY, girls are XX. He made them in his image. Male and female, he made them. There is no thousand different names. We see God as a spirit. Mankind, male and female, were made in his image, and we know some things just because of the way God created us. Man is not the same as a tree. Man is not the same as a cow or a dog. Man is three parts. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to talk about that a little deeper as we go here. You are not like a tree. A tree has a body, the same as you do. But a tree does not have a soul, and it does not have a spirit. Animals, cats, dogs, deer, cows, they have a body, and they have a soul in part. The soul is how they know about where they are. If you had a cat at your house and your normal feeding time is 5 p.m., whether you know it or not, about 5 p.m., your cat knows it's feeding time. And they'll come out of the garage, wherever they happen to be, and they'll come to that feeding spot because they have a soul. Tree doesn't have a soul. The tree can't do anything. It can't think. It can't reason. Nothing. But a man and a woman, you have a body and a soul and a spirit. With your spirit, you know about the heavens above. You know that there is a God. You may not want to acknowledge that, but you know deep in your heart there's something beyond this life. Atheists don't want to admit it. But in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God created man in his image, and man has that spirit by which he may know God. Now we know the story. In Genesis chapter 3, God had already told Adam and Eve, you can eat all the trees in the garden, but you must not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, we know Satan came along and tempted Eve. She saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and it was beautiful. And she took it and she ate it. And she gave some to her husband and he ate it. when they ate of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, you'll surely die. Now, they didn't die physically that day. Adam lived to be 930 years old, but they died spiritually. And all the children they have begotten from that time are born spiritually dead. You have a spirit, but it's dead. And unless you're born again in God's family, that spirit's going to stay dead. And the secret things of God that he's revealed to us that know him, so that we can know what he's done and teach that to our children, you're never going to know that until you're born again. I didn't know that. I went to church on a fairly regular basis, but I had no idea. In Genesis 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. And Adam and Eve died that day spiritually. They still had a body, they still had a soul, but spiritually they were dead to God. God offered an animal to cover their sin, the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's what? There's no remission of sin. God took care of their sin problem, but they had to be born again. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, this is talking about every one of us in this room at one time. It says, as for you, you were dead in the transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Our Lord wants us to know right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior as you sit here today, you are dead in your sin. Now, you're still alive. Physically, you've got a body that can move, can do things. You know what's going on around you. You can sense when it's dinner time, just like that cat or dog can. But in relation to God, in relation to what's really true in this universe, you, my friend, are dead. And you'll never figure it out. The Bible says by wisdom, by man's wisdom alone, no one will ever know the Lord. It's a revealed thing. And he'll reveal to anyone. In John 3:3, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. God will open your spiritual heart and your spiritual mind, and you'll be able to understand the things of God. You'll be able to understand why you're here. You'll begin to understand what you're supposed to be doing while you're here. And you'll know the truth of God's word of what happens after this life. But it all starts with that spiritual birth. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you are not born again. And you may think you know a lot about the Bible, but you don't know God. You can't know God except through a living relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he wants you to be born again. Tonight we're going to look further into this because the Lord really wants his children to know.